in belief, in faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you, Lord, for your assurance that you've given us. Lord, I pray that tonight that I would speak according to the Holy Ghost, that there would be words of wisdom, words that would unlock people in their heart so they may believe and may receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at healed and free. Healed and free. And if you believe that healing is for today, raise your hand. Healing is for today. Praise the Lord. If you believe that healing is for me and you, raise your hand. And we've got to believe that. We've got to believe that healing is available today. It's not just locked back in the days of the apostles or in the Old Testament, but healing is available for today. You know, one of the things that's been concerning me over the years is when I see people who we know very clearly that healing is the children's bread, but something has been holding them back from receiving their healing. We're going to look at that issue tonight. And if something's been holding you back from receiving your complete healing, then you can have it dealt with tonight. You can have it dealt with tonight. Let's have a look at Exodus 15, verse 26. Now, God heals his people, but you know, there are conditions attached to it. There are conditions attached to God's healing and his healing power. We have to understand that it's not just anyone that wants to be healed that will be healed. Otherwise, every person on the planet who's sick would be healed because they're obviously desiring to get out of their sickness and disease. But we know that God has a desire for people to be healed, and he's put in the earth a way for that to happen. And it's the way of faith, it's the way of belief, it's the way of obedience to the word of God. So we have to be people that understand this, that it's not a chance random process, and it's not just because you want it, it's because you approach the Lord in the right way, and the way of faith is the right way. Exodus 15, looking at verse 26. And said, this is God speaking, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know, sickness and infirmity is not a good thing. And the Egyptians were in rebellion. They were under the curse. They were not trusting in the Lord. And guess what? Well, you don't have to guess. You can see it here, that diseases came upon them. But you know, God's will is for us, for his people, to hearken diligently to the voice of him, which we know to be his word, and to hearken diligently to him. That has not changed. That has not changed. You know, his commandments still apply, and we know that there are commandments in the New Testament. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping of his commandments still applied. Now, we have within us, if we're born again, we have within us implanted the seed of God because we've been born again. And so we have the characteristics of ones that want to do the will of God. And the more you step out, the more you step out in obedience, the more you do what God wants, the easier it becomes, the more sanctified you become. What we see here is that God's will is for his people to be healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is available. His power is available. But he's not going to bless rebellion. He's not going to bless disobedience. He's not going to bless sin. And one of the big things is that there has been people who are saying, well, why can't God bless me? Well, he can bless you, but they're still holding things. For example, they hold unforgiveness in their heart, or they're speaking all things contrary to the word of God and so on. And they're thinking that God can bless them when they're like that. What we have to understand is that God wants us to have a heart that is soft towards him, a heart that is soft towards him, and to look to him, to look to him, to look to him first, to look to the Lord Jesus Christ first. Look at Malachi 4 verse 2. Malachi 4 verse 2. We see here a prophecy. The last book in the Old Testament, we see a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course it was fulfilled in his ministry on earth. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. And it's fulfilled in what he's doing even today through his church. He is the head. He is the head of the church. He is the one that still has healing today for his people. And Malachi 4 verse 2 says, "But unto you that fear my name," do you fear his name? Do you reverence the Lord in your heart? Do you say, "Yes, I fear the Lord"? And you know that what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord. It says it in the book of Proverbs. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil. To hate sin. To hate going the way that's wrong. Now notice what it says. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Now that Son of Righteousness, that's S-U-N there, but it's talking about him as the light of the world. It's talking about as his aspect, the light of the world, and in fact, the one who causes people to be righteous by giving them the gift of righteousness. And so we see that he arises with healing in his wings. Healing in what he is. Healing is available. And he has arisen. And his healing is available today. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he paid the full price. And by the stripes of Jesus, ye were healed. And the Bible says he took your infirmities, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Bible says that our griefs were laid upon him. And griefs include sicknesses. We know that we have a full salvation in Christ. Not a half salvation, a full salvation. Spirit, soul and body. But you know, God wants us to have a soft heart towards him. And this is important to understand, because there are people who are quite willing to shut God out of certain areas, and then they wonder why they can't get through in various aspects of their lives, and healing is one of those areas. Look at Proverbs 14 verse 13. Proverbs 14 verse 13. This is a basic spiritual law in healing. Proverbs 14 verse 13. And let me just go through this with you just so that you can see this basic law in healing that applies right throughout the Old and New Testament. It applies today, this basic law in healing. Proverbs 14, verse 13. Proverbs 14 verse 12, sorry. "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And we have to understand that there are ways that seem right to people, but the end are the ways of death. And within the whole cycle of death, of course, is sickness. The whole cycle of death has this area whereby people get caught up in it because they partake of the sin cycle, the death cycle. You see, what's attached to sin is all types of judgment. We have to understand that the ways of death are not the ways for us to go as Christians, because we have a new way. So those that are outside of Christ, those who might be in Christ but haven't had the right teaching, for example, They're thinking along a certain way, but it's still the way of death, because the way we should be thinking is the way of life, which is according to the Word of God. And the Word of God is what will reveal to us what are the ways of life. The Word of God will reveal to us about healing. And yet there are many churches that don't preach anything about healing, don't teach about it, don't even think that it applies for today. And that's why they've got a way that seems right to them, but it's not the right way. Have a look at Matthew 13 verse 15. It's a hard issue. It's an issue of the heart. If people in their heart are not right, or don't have the right understanding, or are allowing things to get into their heart that aren't right, for example, you know, the parable of the sower, where people can have a stony heart, or people can have thorns and thistles and weeds in their heart. Well, God wants all of that out so that we can have what the Bible calls a good ground heart, which receives the Word of God. And so you can receive, for example, the Word of healing. And the Word of healing is right through the Scriptures, right through the Word of God. The Word of healing is very, very clear. Matthew 13, verse 15, notice what it says here. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Now the word gross means filthy. And notice what it says next part. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The word converted means changed. So, but where does the change has to happen? It has to happen in the heart, doesn't it? Because talking about this people's heart, the word heart is talking about a person's inner man, the spirit man. And there are people, and he was referring here to certain people, this is Jesus speaking, whose heart was waxed gross, it had become filthy. All types of things that got into their heart that the Lord didn't want. And you know, he points here that their ears were dull of hearing. Well, if your ears, spiritual ears, are dull of hearing, you're not going to be able to hear about healing, are you? You're not going to be able to hear about the full salvation that's available. And it says their eyes, they have closed. They have closed their eyes. So it's their decision. They've made a decision to close their eyes. And notice what it's connected to. It's connected to healing, because if they decide to see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and what's God's word? Light. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If they allow God's word and they see it and hear it and understand it with their heart, they'll be converted or changed, and it says there, I should heal them. Is there a connection between the state of the heart or the inner man and healing? There definitely is. There definitely is. And what we have to make sure of is that we have our heart in the right place. We have to have what the Bible calls a perfect heart before Him. Now that doesn't mean that you have to look at every single thing that you've ever done wrong in the past. It just means that you have to now focus on the Lord, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and say, Lord, if there be anything in my heart that needs to be dealt with, I want it dealt with. I want to have a change in there. I want to have a cleansing in there so that I can receive the healing that you want for me. And this is very important for us to understand. You see, how does the devil get in to people's lives? He gets in through access, people giving him access. And so what has to happen is there has to be a clearing out. And a lot of people need their hearts to be cleared out so that the grossness is cleared out and dealt with, and they make a decision to hear the Word of God, to see the Word of God, and to understand the Word of God. Can you see what I'm saying? It's very important, because then the devil has no access. Now, we know that the devil is behind much sickness and disease. Have a look at Acts 10, verse 38. Acts 10:38, and this is just one scripture, there's many others. Now, how does he get access to that? How is there access into that? Well, he's given access. He's given what we would call legal right, because he's the one that tempted Adam and Eve, and they came, they allowed through their decisions, they allowed sin to come into the world. By one man, sin entered into the world, the Bible tells us. But we know that the tempter was Satan himself. And so he's continually doing that. He's continually trying to get you and me off on the wrong track. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He's trying to get you onto that way of death. That's always what he's trying to get you onto. But what you want to have is to be on the way of life, always on the way of life, constantly. And Acts 10 verse 38, notice what it says here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus, and if you know what Jesus went about preaching, he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And that's getting people right with the Lord first of all. He went about preaching repentance, and he went about preaching healing. So we know that the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. As it says there, who went about doing good and healing. So healing is good. It's not bad, it's good. Healing is good. Healing is good. And what we need to see is what's behind what is not good. So it's no use saying, oh, it's God's will for me to be sick. It's not God's will for you to be sick. It's not God's will for you to have infirmity or sickness in your life. God's will is for you to be healed. And if you're oppressed of the devil, to get that out, get that oppression out. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, oppression shall be far from us, far from us. And so we have to see, well, we've got to give no access and make sure that our hearts before him are not gross, but a good ground heart, as the Bible says. Look at John chapter 5. We'll read a fair section in John 5, starting from verse 1, and we'll go to verse 15. John 5. Here's a very clear example of a man that Jesus warned in John 5. He warned about sin to him and showed the connection between bad things coming and allowing bad things in by or through sin. Now, as I said right at the beginning, I've been concerned that some people, it's not just here, it's really across the body of Christ, that people haven't been able to receive their healing, even though they know that healing is available. Like I said right at the beginning, do we believe that God heals today? Do we believe that healing is for us today? Well, we would say yes to both those questions. We would say yes. And we see in John 5, verses 1 to 15, well, let's read what it says, and I'll just take you through it. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sea market, a sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So you can see a great multitude, but you can see that this great multitude, it was only the first that got in that was made whole. And that's fine, but you see there was a lot of people missing out, wasn't there? A lot of people were missing out. Verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, you think about it, he'd been there, he had this infirmity 38 years, and so he'd been there for quite a while. He might not have been there the entire 38 years, but he'd been there for quite a while. And you sort of wonder, well, why didn't someone help him to be first in? Nevertheless, he'd been there for a long time. He'd had this infirmity a long time. Now, was it God's will for him to be healed of his infirmity at the beginning of the 38 years? Yes, it was. Was it God's will for him to be healed in the middle of the 38 years? Yes, it was. Was it God's will for him to be healed at the end of the 38 years? Yes, it was. So it was God's will for him to be healed, full stop. Yet he had the infirmity for 38 years. And so we need to see what Jesus says about this case. So verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Now this is important to see. There are a lot of other people that were seeking their own before this man, but he had got to a stage where he was trusting in someone else to come and put him into a pool. Can you see what I mean? So what was he looking at this stage? What was he looking at? He was looking at someone else to come and put him into a pool. So he knew that the Lord was doing something. A miraculous thing was happening at this place called Bethesda. But he'd got his eyes off the Lord. And I think a lot of people are like that. They know that the Lord can do things, and they might have seen something happen in other people's lives. Obviously, he would have seen people getting healed. But he got his eyes off the source of the healing. Now, what we would say is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ that we saw went about doing good and healing. And he's doing that even today. He can even do that tonight as we're open to him. So the first thing that Jesus addressed was, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? And then in verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now notice Jesus didn't say, rise, try to take up thy bed and try to walk. And this is something that is important for us to understand. If you receive your healing, you do what you couldn't do before. You do it. You do it. We see here, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, this is a crucial thing that Jesus said here because it's the word of God. And if that man had not done exactly what Jesus had said, but had said, no, I can't do that. I've got to wait for the man to come to the pool. If he'd done that, then he would have taken his eyes off Jesus and back onto some other someone that could possibly take him into the pool. So Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So it's important for us to see that the man looked to Jesus and obeyed. Looked to Jesus and obeyed, and he was made whole on the Sabbath. Now, remember what I said right at the beginning. Some people have doctrines against healing. And obviously there were people who had doctrines against, and then they'd put all types of little laws and rules about it. And one of this is, you can't heal on the Sabbath day sort of thing. And no doubt they had many other little things in the way. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. I mean, this is just pure stupidity, isn't it? Here's a man that's clearly healed on the Sabbath day, and they're saying you can't carry your bed. Well, they would have known who he was because he'd been impotent for 38 years. They would have known who he was. He'd been there a long time. Now, notice what he says, and this is very important. He said, he answered them, in verse 11, he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. In other words, I'm obeying what he said. Verse 12, Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. So there was something that Jesus needed to talk to him about. And notice what Jesus talks to him about. Verse 14, Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And notice what he says in verse 14. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Sin and things coming to people go hand in hand. Now, you'll notice in the world that there's much sickness and infirmity and disease, and people naturally, in the natural, they accept it as part of life. They'll talk about their sicknesses, they'll talk about their infirmities and so on, and never a thought for the Lord, never a thought for God's healing or whether they should follow the Lord or anything like that, because there is a way that seems right to them, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, what we know to be right is when you look to Jesus and when you obey the Lord Jesus Christ and keep the sin out. That's why Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. You know, repentance is often needed first. Like some of the things that Christians do can keep them back from receiving their healing properly. They might use their tongue wrongly. And the Bible says in the book of James that the tongue is a little member that can defile the whole body. So they might use their tongue wrongly. They might not be seeking God. But remember the spiritual law that says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And prosperity has healing, or it's connected to healing. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So we know prosperity and healing go hand in hand. So It could be indulging in habits, various habits that need to be broken, need to be dealt with. It could be overeating, it could be lust, it could be hatred, it could be bitterness, it could be lack of love for the brethren. It could be lying. Now, we're not into pinpointing various sins. You know your own heart. People know their own heart. And every person has to, of their own self, be honest before the Lord. Be honest before the Lord. The Lord knows every single person's heart. Every single person's heart. And across the body of Christ, there's a great amount of unbelief. A great amount of unbelief about the Word of God. A great amount of unbelief, not only that God can heal or does heal today, but that He has even provided healing, and that it's for me or for you, or that it's in salvation. There's a lot of unbelief. And a lot of it has come because they've allowed their hearts to take in wrong thinking, not allowed themselves to get into the Word of God. And you know what the word of God tells us, that we are cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Cleansed. And that talks about the cleaning up of your thinking, the cleaning up of your heart, so you get things out that shouldn't be there, and so on. You know, faith worketh by love, the Bible tells us. So we must make sure that we are walking in love, for example. If you want your faith to be in operation. So we see here, and let me just repeat verse 14, Jesus is talking to this man, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Now, you might say, well, he was, you know, infirm or impotent for 38 years. What sins could he be committing? Well, a whole heap he could have been committing. He could have been telling lies. He could have been thinking wrongly. He could have been allowing unbelief. He could have been looking at the wrong things, looking at someone else rather than the Lord, and so on. So he could have been bitter. Why does everyone else get healed but not me? And allow bitterness and start blaming God. Oh God, you're not even helping me. You're not even providing for me. Never ever blame God. Never blame God. Have a look at Luke chapter 13, verses 11 to 16. Luke 13. Here we see another example of a woman who had been bound for a long time, not bound by God. The Bible talks about, in this case, Satan bound her. She had a particular spirit, evil spirit, in her body. Verse 11, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. Was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." It's a long time to have a spirit of infirmity, isn't it? Evil spirit. Verse 12, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto him, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Now, this is important, isn't it? She had a decision to make. She could believe what Jesus is saying. Yes, I believe what you're saying. Or, no, I don't. No, I don't. You see, people could be sitting in here and come into a healing service and completely disagree with what the preacher is saying, what the Word of God that's being preached is teaching. Completely disagree with it. Well, you see, have to get that right out. Believers especially must get that right out of their lives and say, well, I agree with your word. I agree with your word. So this woman had to agree with Jesus. Verse 13, and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus saw right through this type of attitude, and notice what he says in verse 15. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? So in other words, freedom, healed and free is what we're talking about tonight. Freedom, freedom. And verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? So notice, and we are called children of Abraham, ought we not be loosed? Ought we not be free? You see what I'm saying? This woman had a right as a daughter of Abraham to be loosed, to be free. And no doubt because of the teaching of the Sabbath, not only that, but the teaching of the Pharisees and what we see here, the ruler of the synagogue, they were keeping back people. And what were people believing? They were believing things that were contrary to the Word of God. They were believing things that keep people in bondage. In bondage. What a sad thing that is. So here we see that Satan was behind it 18 years, but this woman could be loosed by believing the truth rather than, as we see here, the word of the ruler of the synagogue. And do you know, there's many people that are like that. They'll try to explain things away. What we have to do is have a simple faith. A simple faith that God's word is true, that he wants me healed. I want to be obedient, so if anything in my heart has to be dealt with, I want to get it dealt with and get it out. Galatians 5 verse 1. Let's have a look at that one. It's got a couple more scriptures to go through. Galatians 5 verse 1. If the Lord's been speaking to you tonight, you know the Lord wants you healed. You know there's something that's been holding you back, and the Lord wants that dealt with. Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, we have liberty. Christ hath made us free. Made us free. And that's the whole man, spirit, soul and body. So it applies to the area of healing, just as we saw in that example of the woman loosed from that evil spirit of infirmity. We are commanded to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We are commanded to stand fast and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And as I said before, there's many ways that the devil can use to get people into yokes of bondage so that they can't get free. They need the Lord to free them up. Lastly, let's look at James 5, verses 15 and 16. James 5, verses 15 and 16. James 5, verse 15 and 16 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's interesting that that part is there, isn't it? If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So we need to get that sin out, in other words. Get your forgiveness. The Lord provides forgiveness. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So once again, connecting to salvation, isn't it? Save the sick. Salvation has healing in it. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another. You know, you don't want to hide wrong things. You want to get it out. You want to get rid of it. And pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray for one another. Well, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive your healing tonight. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and sanctify our hearts before the Lord now. I believe the Lord has been speaking to people tonight. And you know your heart. And the Lord knows your heart. And I'm not interested in you coming and confessing all your sins. You don't confess them to me, you confess them to the Lord. What I am interested in is if there's anything in your heart and you know has to be dealt with, that you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need this dealt with, and I know that I need healing, but I have to get this right. I have to get this right. So what I want you to do, and I'm going to give you a few moments, is if you know there's anything in your life that needs to be dealt with, it could be a number of things that I've gone through tonight. It could be using your tongue wrongly. It could be not seeking God, or it could be things like indulging in habits, lack of love, and any number of things. But if you know you need to deal with that, I want you to just, and I'm going to give you time, just quietly before the Lord, say, Lord, please forgive me. I confess that I've done this thing. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. Forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord, I repent of it. I repent of it. And I come back to you. Cleanse my heart. And my heart be sound and free from all grossness. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus.